Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, March 26, 2014. In last Monday's podcast, we discussed those who advocate for war, and we mentioned that they believe it is legitimate or even admirable to advocate for war as a method of achieving domination over the world by the United States. Today, we continue that train of thought by discussing those who advocate for peace, and we look at some of the methods they use. If you're interested, there is a report out there. You can find it on the internet, about 50 pages long. This report was done for the United States Army War College class of 2010 by Lieutenant Colonel Todd Jacobus. The report is entitled Civilian Organizational Inhibitors to U.S. Army Recruiting and the Road Ahead. That is just military speak, folks, for the premise that there are many groups, religious groups, veterans groups, and independent groups who have as their mission to convince young people not to enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces. Lieutenant Colonel Jacobus points out in this report that since 1973, an all-volunteer force has comprised the formations of the U.S. Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard. Non-commissioned officers have recruited this all-volunteer force. About 11,000 non-commissioned officers operate out of 3,000 recruiting stations. By providing information and presenting opportunities to young Americans considering their future, but there are many organizations working to dissuade those same young Americans from accepting the opportunities presented by the military recruiters. I became interested in this story. I kept seeing a commercial on television for the U.S. Navy, which referred to the Navy as, quote, a global force for good. And I wondered about that, about the Navy and its traditional mission of defending the nation and projecting U.S. power around the world. So I thought, a global force for good. Now, what is that about, and whose definition of good are we using? Well, Lieutenant Colonel Jacobus points out that since 1973, the formations of America's Army, the most powerful ground force in the world, he says, have been graced with an all-volunteer force recruited by non-commissioned officers from high school student centers, college campuses, gymnasiums, fitness facilities, shopping malls, state fairs, car racing venues, ultimate fighting competitions, and other places where people gather. Well, who knew that we recruit from ultimate fighting competitions? Sometimes I wonder just how volunteer this force is. Once you're in, you can't get out, at least not until your enlistment is up. And even then, the government, in its sole discretion, can extend your enlistment by force indefinitely, thus delaying and sometimes avoiding altogether the benefits promised as an inducement to enlistment. In other words, it is a one-sided contract. Now, let's take a look at some of the counter-recruiting organizations trying to present a different view than the 11,000-member recruiting force and 3,000 recruiting stations. Two of the best-known religious groups are Quaker House, which is founded on Quaker principles, and the Mennonite Central Committee, which is composed of Amish, Hutterites, and Mennonites. The Quakers attempt to hurt recruiting efforts by providing reference materials that depict recruiters in a negative light and by counseling enlistees in the delayed enlistment program on how to terminate their enlistment. Also, by counseling soldiers who are in an absent without leave status, advising soldiers on how to adjudicate a conscientious objector application. The Mennonite Central Committee condemns any type of oath by believers other than to God and generally follows a pacifistic approach. From their literature, one could conclude that they do not believe in self-defense or defense of the nation by force. The Mennonites counsel those in the delayed enlistment program as well. The delayed enlistment program, in case you don't know, is simply a program where people enlist in the military, and then because they have to finish school or some other such thing, their enlistment is delayed for a period of time. The Mennonites also operate a quote, Ask the Veteran website that links to the negative opinions of those who have served in the armed forces, veterans organizations, which seek to counter recruiting efforts, have a great deal of credibility. Most people have not served, and so they depend on those who have for information. Iraq and Afghanistan veterans against the war is especially effective with their Truth in Recruiting campaign. They publish veteran stories about combat in a very powerful and influential way. They visit high schools and tell students of their experiences. They try to develop relationships that will get them into the classrooms and present their stories to the students there. Veterans for Peace has a 14-minute, 32-second video on YouTube called Before You Enlist. Recruiting promises are related and then countered by severely wounded veterans. Mothers relate stories of lost sons and how 19 years old is too young to fully understand the decision to enlist. There is an excerpt from Army Recruiting Command video of a recruit talking about joining the military for the educational benefits. Then several veterans tell stories of how multiple force deployments after the end of their enlistment period are actually a denial of educational benefits. Plus, they say education is very difficult for those who have suffered the trauma of combat. A Vietnam veteran then tells his story of homelessness, and he states that on a given night, some 200,000 veterans are homeless here in America. Independent organizations like Courage to Resist gives a voice to discontented veterans to vent their dissatisfaction with military service. Many veterans who have sought conscientious objector status, including one currently recognized by Amnesty International as a prisoner of conscience, are defended by Courage to Resist. Folks, I wish I had the time on this podcast to go into the individual stories of the veterans and why they feel the way they do. Maybe we can do that sometime. I'm happy to say that we have not yet lost our country. These organizations and their existence is proof of that. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.